You guys need to work on it. A little too over here, I'll wait, but hi everybody watching this. I'm Charlie Newell. This is my beautiful wife Tamara.
Hello.
Always remember what David Schock used to say. He said, "He who finds a wife finds a good thing." He also said, "Prayer changes things." So can I rib you like that?
Yeah.
But we're very excited to share our hearts with you today. Again, you know, the whole televangelist thing. Not going to ask you to put your hands on the screen, but if you want to, I don't judge, okay? It's totally fine. So I think we got a stream on YouTube here. Hi, YouTube. And we got Facebook here. Hi, Facebook. YouTube, don't feel bad. I'm probably going to look more at Facebook because they're right here, but y'all are with us, so I'll try to acknowledge you here and there. But we want to talk to you specifically about prayer today, and we think probably now more than ever, prayer is very relevant. I guess I should start my timer, too, so that I don't just go on and on and on. Not that it matters to me, but it might matter to you. Well, not an hour. There we go. All right. So we're good to go. I think prayer has always mattered, but I think it matters even more now in a time of uncertainty where people feel exposed. People feel like the very foundation that they were leaning and depending on is being stripped away, and they don't know who or what to turn to. Now, there's a train of thought that exists in the world that, oh, just pray to anything. Pray to anyone out there. Well, you can do that, but I ain't going to do that, right? Like I always say, you do you, I'll do me, all right? I want to pray to something that is sure. I'm praying to Jesus. I'm praying to God because I believe in the Bible, what it has to say about prayer, and we're going to look at some of these. And Sister Lorraine, you already started to get into it with the Lord's Prayer and things like that. But what I feel God speaking to me is like, prayer is an invitation to you and me to have direct involvement in the spirit world. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
That you and I don't have to sit idly by in this life, helpless, wondering what is happening to me? Why is this happening to me? What is happening in the world? Right? The book of James says the prayer of a righteous person is very effective. That means that you and I can affect the world around us. We can affect what's happening in our direct world, but I actually believe when we join together as believers, we can affect the larger world, and that's what we want to look at today. Psalm 145:18 says this, "The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth." Meaning what? God isn't close to you when you call to him. Isn't that amazing? If you're feeling lonely right now, if you're feeling isolated, and I'm getting a little warm here under these lights, so I might ditch the Mr. Rogers sweater here in a second, but if you're feeling lonely, know that the Bible says that God is near to those who call on him. And it doesn't even matter how you call on him. It just matters that you call on him, right? Some of my most effective prayers have been near panic attack prayers where I'm like, God, help me! Because I didn't know what else to say or do or anything like that. But God has always come through for me. And I am going to have to... I've reached the point where I now even need readers in the restaurant to
read a menu.
I'm exploring the wonderful world of bifocals as of late, rather than walking around like this, because I can see you clearly far away, but you know, right here, I'm like, oh, she lets me, you know, get away with it. But so, what does prayer mean? This invitation that God has for us. So I believe God is omnipotent, right? He's all-powerful. He knows what he's doing. So he don't need us, right? It's not about that. Like, without your prayer or input, nothing's going to happen. But it's almost like he's saying, you know, at the beginning when he gave the world to Adam and Eve, and he said, take dominion of this world. Now, that dominion was stolen by the devil, but it was won back by Jesus. It is now through the process of prayer that I believe we start to take dominion again. It's a way for us to cooperate and collaborate with him, right? The Bible says that we are co-laborers with Christ. Well, prayer is one of the main ways I believe that we can labor with him. Now, Jesus made a point of always going to prayer. Mm-hmm. And I think this has just been a theme that has been in our life right now, is we don't have answers, so we go to prayer. We go to Jesus, okay? So God wants our involvement. Do you guys remember the movie Die Hard? Of course you do, right? Amazing movie. If you're offended by that, then delete your Netflix account. And, you know, you can email us. But what I loved about that movie is, remember John McClane, he's in the building with the terrorists navigating, but what does he have? He's got a walkie-talkie, and he's got his buddy on the ground who is that voice encouraging him, guiding him. I feel like that is our relationship with God as we navigate this crazy, terroristic world full of traps, full of dangers, as God is like that voice in Die Hard that's guiding us, that's encouraging us, that sees things and knows things that we don't see, and that's why we can lean on him, okay? It's never more important than now. So I want to talk about, and feel free to chime in, darling.
I will.
Okay? What prayer is, what prayer is not. We're going to look at that. We're going to look at what makes prayer effective versus ineffective. Okay? So how many of you know in life, communication is a two-way street? Mm-hmm. Okay? I'm a communications major. Isn't that just...
Me too, darling.
Wow. So we know how to communicate.
Sometimes.
Sometimes. We're laughing heartily. But most people think communication is just about me making my point to you, right? But that's bad communication. And it's going to limit your relationship with somebody if I'm just mansplaining to my wife all day, this is how it is, honey, I'm the man of the house, blah, blah, blah. You know, she's going to shut me down or she's going to shut down herself, right? Mm-hmm. And communication is going to cease to flow between us. Communication is largely more based on hearing and being aware of what I'm saying is the other person receiving mm-hmm. and hearing me. Mm-hmm. And I believe it's the same way with God. It's not about us just going to him with a laundry list saying, you know, rote prayers of this, 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 and this, right? Mm-hmm. It's not about that at all. It's about us taking time to express what is on God's heart, but also to listen back to what he is saying to us.
Can I make a point?
Please do.
And that's something I was going to touch on a little bit later in the notes, but I think it's also in terms of when we think about like how God speaks to us, it's always within the context of the word, and knowing the word and having that inside us helps us understand what we're hearing is either of God or not of God. And when we think about that in terms of a relationship, it's like when I say something to him, I also have to think about the context. How is his brain going to receive it? What are his thoughts already that he would interpret what I'm saying, that he would even hear something differently? I hope that makes a lot of sense. Does that make sense?
Makes sense. Okay. Absolutely. So the good news is that Jesus provided us with a template of how to pray. And Sister Lorraine started to get into that this morning with the Lord's Prayer, right? So the context was this. The disciples were just like us. They didn't know what to pray, right? And Jesus, they noticed, would always go off and pray. So it only became natural that they expressed, you know, Jesus, will you teach us how to pray? Now, some people take the Lord's Prayer and they just sit and park on that, and they don't really go beyond kind of that context, right?
The script.
But God wants us to take what was meant, I believe, as a template. Anybody ever use templates like in Microsoft Word or something like that? Well, if you send that to somebody in business, they're going to be like, this joker just like took something off the internet and sent it to me, and it's like, okay, I guess I'll honor it, but like, whatever. It means much more when it guides us to learning and to understanding of what we're supposed to do. And that's what I believe the Lord's Prayer is, okay? So we're going to look at Matthew 6, 5 through 15. I'm going to read it to you. You can fact check me later, okay? Jesus said, whenever you pray, be sincere, not like the pretenders who love the attention they receive while praying before others in meetings or on street corners. I got a lot to say about that. You know, I've been to so many meetings where like, Lord, I thank you, Lord, and people make a big show of it. It's not necessary, is what Jesus is saying, right? As a matter of fact, it can actually be a hindrance because you're making that about you. I'll just leave that right there, okay? Believe me, they've already received their full reward. Wow. But whenever you pray, go into your innermost chamber and be alone with Father God, praying and be alone with Father God, praying to him in secret. That tells me that prayer is supposed to be intimate. It's supposed to be between me and God. It's not about making a show. It's not about letting people know how spiritual you are by how long you can pray and words of elocution and things like that to show that you are learned in, you know, hermeneutics and homiletics and things like that. It's meaningless to God. He's saying, go to a secret place. Why? Because there's nobody else to impress. It's just you and God. Okay? Your Father who sees all you do will reward you openly. Verse 7, when you pray, there's no need to repeat empty phrases, praying like those who don't know God, for they expect God to hear them because of their many words. I'll just leave that there too. There's no need to imitate them since your Father already knows what you need before you ask him. Wow, so God already knows what we need before we ask him. That's what he's saying right here. Does that mean I shouldn't tell him what I need? No, it doesn't mean that at all. He's saying he is tuned into us. He already understands where we're coming from. So I don't have to go into prayer like proving myself to God, like, God, do you know how much my situation is not fun right now? He's like, no, I know that. I know it. All right. Okay. That's a good starting point. So Jesus says, when you pray, pray like this. Our Father, dwelling in heavenly realms. I'm going to stop right there and say this. The first thing Jesus does is he acknowledges the Father. And that's what we are supposed to do. Jesus said, I'm here to lead you to the Father. So his intention was always, start here. God is supposed to be your Father and my Father. So we can go to him. And if you don't have that relationship with God yet, where you feel like he's a father to you, I want to invite you to seek that. Because God is available to father you and me. Okay? Dwelling in heavenly realms. So he's first acknowledging God as Father. Then he's acknowledging that God is in the heavenly realm. So what does that mean? So he's acknowledging that positionally, God is over all things. So you're doing two things. You're acknowledging him as Father. You're acknowledging him as the power above all things in the opening. Right? May the glory of your name be the center on which our lives turn. Manifest your kingdom realm and cause your every purpose to be fulfilled on earth, just as it is fulfilled in heaven. So I see the faith as going like this, acknowledging God as Father, acknowledging that he is over everything in heaven, and then acknowledging his will be done over ours. Because something happens when we lay our will down and we take up his will before ours, is that God actually ministers into our will. Mm. See that out of there? Keep going. Okay. We acknowledge you as provider of all we need each day. Okay, now it's circling back around to me, right? But it's still acknowledging, God, you are provider. You know what I need, and I acknowledge that you are the one who provides it. I'm not coming to you with complaints. I'm not coming to you with grudge. And it is okay to air some grievances and complaints before God in prayer. I'm not saying that. But ultimately, our heart needs to come around to a place where we acknowledge, my situation might suck right now, but I know that you have the power to change that. Now it gets more personal. Forgive us the wrongs as we ourselves release forgiveness to those who've wronged us. So acknowledging what I have done, whether it's wrong, whether I've been grouchy and yelled at my wife or my kids, I never do that. Or people who have wronged us. Right? Often we go to God and we just talk about that person. Oh, did you see what they did to me? Do you see what I have to live with every week, every day? Twins, y'all never fight, right? No. It's acknowledging, yes, I've done wrong, and anybody else who's done wrong, I'm going to release them right now before you. And we're going to talk about why that is so important to making your prayer effective. Rescue us in the time we face tribulation right now. For you are the king who rules. And it's bringing him back to him. You are the king who rules with power and glory forever. Amen and amen. And then verse 14 says, and when you pray, make sure you forgive the faults of others so that your Father in heaven will forgive you. But if you withhold forgiveness from others, your Father withholds forgiveness from you.
Yeah, I love at the end of that, he basically tells you the one thing he repeats twice is to forgive. He says it within the context of the Our Father prayer, and then he, and by the way, don't forget to forgive. And I just think that's so imperative to keeping the condition, making sure that condition of our heart when we're coming to Father is one of humility and one of generosity of spirit. One thing that I would like to talk about is the verse in 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says to pray without ceasing. And that, I think, is a verse that can sometimes put our minds in a little bit of a spin. Like, what does it even look like? What does that even mean? And I've come into a season the past few weeks of understanding more and more of what that can look like. And I looked up a few different translations, and to pray without ceasing and can also translate into praying continually in the NIV, or in the Passion Translation, make your life a prayer. And something that, and we're going to talk more about speaking in tongues and even talk a little bit about that if that's not even something that you're familiar with or your church does, but something that I've been doing more in this season is praying throughout the day. You know, something that Charlie and I have been doing during quarantine is going for morning walks together and prayer. Thank you, grandparents, for watching the kids. We can do that. And it's been really amazing to start our day like that. And even sometimes in the evening, I've gone where I've capped the day in some prayer too. But even during the day where, you know, where I think we talked about this before, it's like the season of life can be pretty much like a, I feel like you're in a bit of a pressure cooker. Like we're all at home. We either have too much to do because we're teaching our kids and working, or not enough to do because you're not working or nowhere to go or lonely. It's like two extremes, it seems like. But something that I've been leaning more into is praying throughout the day and praying continuously, not nonstop, because obviously I'm taking care of my kids and I'm living with my in-laws and my husband. I don't just like speak to them and pray tongues all day. But whenever there's something that comes up that is not of the Lord, I speak in tongues. If there's frustration, I start speaking in tongues. If a sense of hopelessness about the future, I start speaking in tongues. If there's something that I'm teaching my kids and something's like not working, I start speaking in tongues. And as I do that, it's like this, the whole presence of God just starts to come down and move into the situation and just moves in a way that starts to break through it. And literally heaven comes to earth. When he says, like, let heaven come to earth, that's what starts to happen, where the atmosphere changes and the things in my heart that are weighing me down just get broken off, and his presence of love and peace and goodness comes moving into my heart and changes the way that I react to the situation around me and the people around me. And I think that's what he is encouraging you to do, is that whenever there's something that Bill Johnson said, I don't remember, this was a message a long time ago, and it just stuck with me. And he said, I cannot afford to have a thought in my mind that does not line up with the word of God. And I'm like, man, that is so true. Because how quickly your situation and the way you see things can change when you have on, when you're wearing your crown of righteousness and you are really walking in the spirit of God and allowing him to shift your situation in your mind.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah, sure.
Does that mean I can pray while I'm washing dishes?
Yes, dear, it can.
It can? I'm taking a walk?
Yes, it can.
Okay.
And even, you know, it's something, it was really cute. You know, right now, I mean, we have been homeschooling for a while. And before we left California, our kids were in this awesome, spirit-filled Christian church. And they were teaching kids how to hear from God and teaching the kids the word. It was really cool. And I learned a lot of things about how I can impart that into my kids. But now we're all at home, right? And I've been asking the Lord, I'm like, well, how do I, like, help me to impart into my kids what it means to, like, live with God on a daily basis? And it's been a process. But the other day I was walking through the hallway and I didn't even know my daughter was like really paying attention, you know, and she's three. And I was just like praying in tongues, walking through the hallway. And I hear her behind me, like 3 years old, walking behind me, praying in tongues. And she's like, you know, and I was like, wow, that's awesome. Like she's just catching what God is doing.
There's a really good book I want to recommend too for you. It's called Practice of the Presence of God by Brother Lawrence. And it's about he was a monk, and he talks about this, just while doing the menial things of life, inviting God. because our kids come into our room at all hours, middle of the night, early in the morning, and sometimes it feels like getting a moment to come up for air is very hard. There's a lot of demands that are placed on us, even in a quarantine, right? So I don't think the expectation of God is on us that we have to always be, you know, locked in that
place. Sometimes it's just not possible.
It's just not possible.
Right. Charlie had spoken, when he opened up, he was talking about how prayer is really, it's about our relationship with God. And I really felt the Lord wanting me to just emphasize that it all really begins with our relationship with God. And Charlie did talk about how, you know, it's you can talk to the Lord about everything, and how Jesus, he prayed about everything. In the New Testament, we see that he was praying to the Father in all situations and in all conditions of his heart. He prayed and he talked to the Father before making big decisions, like choosing his disciples. If you have to make big decisions in the middle of this quarantine, you can talk to the Father about it. He prayed, you know, we commonly, just culturally, we say grace before a meal and we give thanks. He did that. We see he did that. He prayed before and after miracles. And he even prayed, you know, we just celebrate Easter. When he was on the cross, he prayed, my God, why have you forsaken me? He prayed even in that place of pain in his heart as he took on our sins and he was dying. So in any condition, I know Charlie said that, like, if all you can say is help, or even say like, I'm angry, like whatever it is, just take it to God. There is nothing, he will not be upset with you. Whatever you're feeling or whatever your situation is, or if you've never even talked to him before, it's really about relationship, and he just wants to talk. You know, and something that, and as well, you know, the more that we learn the word and what the Bible says, the more we're able to hear accurately what God is saying. I think when people can talk about hearing God's voice, right, that can probably bring up a lot of different ideas of what does that mean? Does that mean someone's crazy? They hear the voice of God? I've never actually heard like an audible voice of God. I know some people have, but it's an impression on my spirit. And I know that as I learn the word and what the Bible says, what I'm hearing is accurately the Father's voice. There's one of my favorite books that I have. It's a small, short book, like about this big. It's a purple book written by Joyce Meyer, and it's called The Secret Power of Speaking God's Word. And it's just a book of verses, and I go to it year after year, and she has it sectioned off by all different types of sections, different struggles or different things. And you can just go to the section if you're feeling like you need faith, and you just can like go ahead and like just speak that verse over and over again. And she's done a lot of the hard work for you, rather than you. If the book seems really intimidating, the Bible's so big, she's already put it all there for you. And so I would just encourage you to, even when you're praying, bringing the word into it as well.
Boom. Awesome. Good stuff. All right. Everybody doing okay? Y'all doing okay? Y'all doing okay? Y'all doing okay? Hope you are. You know, cloud four. So let's talk about some impediments to prayer. I have a sneaking suspicion that most people are like me, and that the most biggest impediment to prayer is me. Right? It's because I don't do it enough and I don't start. But I think that there are reasons behind why we feel discouraged. Number one, of course, your enemy does not want you to pray, right? He doesn't want you communicating the heavens and receiving encouragement and the word of God, right? So I think number one, feelings of inadequacy can plague us, right? Where we look at our own weaknesses, we look at our sins, we look at our shortcomings, and we feel ashamed by them and locked in that cycle of shame, to where we feel, and this is where the enemy will really poke at us, we feel like we can't go to the Father like that, right? But Jesus showed us in the Lord's Prayer. He said, forgive me as I forgive others, right? So in the midst of our prayer, we can bring anything to God and break that cycle of shame off of our life. James 5:17 says this, 17 and 18, Elijah was a man with human frailties, just like all of us. Specifically, most people who read the story of Elijah now, understand that this dude struggled with probably depression, bipolar depression, or something along those lines, because homeboy would go into dark places in his head, right? He'd hide in caves. He would shut down in a lonely place to the point where God had to send an angel to feed this dude and encourage him, right? And he had just seen incredible miracles. And yet his emotional state was such that he would get locked inside of himself, right? So he was a man, it shows us here, with human frailties just like us. So God's not looking at our human frailties. Then it goes on to say, but he prayed and received supernatural answers. He actually shut the heavens over the land so there would be no rain for 3.5 years. Then he prayed again, and the skies opened up over the land so that the rain came again and produced the harvest. You'd think with that kind of powerful prayers and the evidence of it that he'd have no more problems. But I think what God is saying here is that he understands that we are human, that we are frail, that we feel weak, that we feel tired, that we just feel drawn out and done sometimes. You ever just get to a point today where you're like, I am done. I got nothing else. Well, then go to God with that nothing else, and he'll hear you. Okay? Can sin be an impediment? Yes, it can. But I don't believe that perfection is required. I'm going to talk to you at the end what I think perfection actually is, right? Jesus said, be perfect, right? But what did he mean? We think that being perfect means just walking around like little chairs, right? Little church chairs and never messing up. I don't think it's that at all. I'm going to share it with you in just a second. Number two, an impediment to prayer. Trying to be something we are not. I have been guilty of this so many times in my life. I remember when I was a young man and I really had just given my life. I was at Louisiana State University and I was living in a crazy co-ed dorm to the Pentagon where they just party at all hours. You know, I heard the voice of the Lord, not audible, but laying in my heart, and came back to him. And I started to read a lot of books on prayer. E.M. Bounds is a great one, Watching the Knee. And I used to read, there was a story about a revivalist who, it said, he would pray until he wore almost dents into the wood floor. And I thought that I had to be that, right? And it worked for a little while, but it didn't work long term for me. And I would feel bad about it because I'm like, well, I can't be that, so I don't know if God can, you know, speak to her. Is he angry at me because I'm not praying enough? And I used to come under that guilt and condemnation. I don't anymore because I know myself more now. She can testify to, I'm a kinetic person. What does that mean? I like to
slow.
I like to touch. I like to move. I am a mover.
This is my shoe.
There you go. That's how kinetic I am, right? Knock her off her chair. What I mean is this, I am a mover. I have a hard time sitting still. Some people might say he's a bit of a spaz. That's okay. I'm okay with that. I think that God knows that. One of the greatest discoveries I've ever had in my prayer life is prayer walking, right? Mm-hmm. Meaning I can walk around and I can pray. Sometimes I'll put in my earbuds so that people don't think I'm absolutely crazy and throw a net over me or something like that, right? But I know what I'm doing. I'm talking to the Lord, right? So prayer has to be personal. It has to be something that you connect with in a personal way, right? Communication styles differ between people. This is something we've studied in our marriage. She's going to light up here when I say this, but love languages, right, honey?
Yes.
There's different love languages. I forget the dude who wrote that, but it's useful. It's good. Mm-hmm. Because your love language most likely differs from my love language. I know hers and mine are different, but we've
opposite.
Learned that. Opposite. Pretty opposite, but that's right. Opposites attract, as Paula Abdul sang, right? that works, but I've learned what works for her communication-wise. And I think here's a few of them. Quality time, touch, works, and gifts.
And affirmation.
Affirmation, words of affirmation.
That's my number one.
Yeah. Quality time, yeah. I believe spending time with God, for some of us, marinating in his presence. It might just be putting on some worship music and just marinating, spending quality time. And if that works for you, that's cool. Go with it. Touch. All right? One of my love languages is quality time and touch, right? See? Touch. So what do I look for from the Lord? I look for a touch from God. Mm. And I go to the Lord and say, I need a touch of your presence. What does that feel like for you and me? May be different as well, too. Mm-hmm. Is a hand of fire coming in and smacking me around? No, not at all. I just feel, and I wait sometimes for the presence of God to kind of feel like a, Benny Hinn used to describe it as like a warm blanket. And I just know it's the presence of God. Right? It may sound crazy to some people, but it works for me. And that's what I look for, and God often gives me. There'll be even times where I'm going throughout my day, I ain't praying, I ain't doing nothing spiritual at all, and I'll just feel his presence kind of wrap around me, and it's wonderful. You had something to say. I could feel it.
Well, no, I'm like connecting the dots now after almost 13 years of marriage. Ooh. That you've said.
13.
I know.
12.
Almost 13. Anyway. He has said over the years and years, I just need a touch from God, I need a touch from God. And that is one of his love languages. I'm just connecting in the moment and having an aha moment.
Awesome. Work or acts of service is another love language. For some people, they need to be doing the ministry of God. They need to be ministered to, right? Or they feel like they need to be doing something for God. Let me tell you, Martha and Mary, right? Martha wasn't all bad. She's a good lady, man. She was doing the work of God. Maybe she didn't spend enough time just at Jesus' feet, and that is a lesson to us to not get so caught up in works. But for some people, they connect with God in that way, and that's cool. Your service can be prayer. I heard one person say, when I'm washing my dishes, it is prayer. I even believe that your vocation, your natural job, can be an act of worship and prayer before the Lord if you're committing it to him.
That's awesome.
Gifts. It's another way. Some people, gifts is a love language, right? And words of affirmation, like hearing the word of God. Faith comes by hearing by the word of God. Sometimes just reading, like she said, the scripture out loud can cause like God's presence to come and a prayer to come. All right. The other thing I want to say is like what works for me might not work for you. I will sometimes come into this place and pray when nobody's here because sometimes my prayer could possibly have me committed. Meaning I pray sometimes like a madman. Sometimes I yell, I shout, I scream, I cry. It's raw and it's unfiltered when I know it's just me and God. Because nobody else is standing in the room judging me, saying, what's wrong with that dude? He's crazy. What am I doing? I'm getting everything out of the deepest wells of my heart out to my Father. And he accepts that. And he loves me no matter what. Number three, an impediment to prayer, unanswered prayer. Whoa. This is something that all of us have struggled with, right? Unanswered prayer. I heard Bill Johnson say this, prayer to God, when we're praying according to his word, right? Meaning, it's just not all about my agenda, but we're coming to God with an honest, open heart, and we're praying. It's either yes or no or not yet, okay? If it's yes, kind of obvious, right? What we're asking for, God has given it. If it's no, we're going to explore this a little bit of why God sometimes says no to us. But very often, it's not yet, right? Before I even met Tamara, there were other people that I had dated and had considered and, you know, that way. And for the most part, it wasn't just a pure no. It was a not yet, Charlie. And a lot of us are in this place of not yet in our lives, right? Eventually, the prayer was answered and fulfilled in this lovely specimen right here. But what had to happen in that time is I had to go to the Lord in prayer, right? Sometimes we can feel like our prayers are either streak or slump, like a baseball player, right? I'm hitting a lot of balls, or I'm not hitting anything, right? I'm just striking out continually. I remember there was a guy, and my dad and I used to go to this baseball card shop in Metairie, Louisiana, man. It's a little suburb outside the mall, and they talk like this, you know, almost like Brooklyn. There's a guy, Frank's Cards, you know. I think Frank was a little mobbed up or something right there. He used to say, hey, Rev, you having any luck with your prayers, right? Luck with your prayers. But I get where he's going with that. He's like, are your prayers working? And we can kind of sometimes feel like that. Sometimes my prayer feels like a message in a bottle. Like I throw it out there and, man, how is God going to find that prayer amongst the swirl of the gazillions and billions of prayers that are going up right now in the earth, but he does, right? There is a seasonality to prayer, right? Meaning, what is God asking of us in this season, especially if it's a no or a not yet kind of a thing? What is he asking of us? Is he asking us to press in? And I'm not, these are rhetorical questions. These are personal for you. Is he asking us to change course? See, one of the things is when we pray and God is working an obedient heart into us, there is an openness to receiving a different idea or point of view from God that is not our own. That's what Jesus is saying when he said, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I pray specifically, your kingdom come, your will be done in my world as it is in heaven. Right? Because we each have a world unto ourselves, don't we? We think we're in control, but we're not. Right? But in my mind, my world, I want it to go this way. Right? And it doesn't always go that way. So what happens when I lay that down and I say, what is your will in this situation, God? Help me to discern it. Help me to know it. Is it a flat no? And if so, why? It's okay to ask God why. Is it a not yet? And if so, then give me grace to sustain me through this season, because it is a seasonality thing. Mm-hmm. Here's another point. Are we praying according to his will? Are we praying according to the Bible, right? If I'm praying for something that is anti what God's will is, guess what? He is under no obligation to answer it at all. So what do we need to do? We need to learn the Bible, because God does not contradict his word. Right? That's why praying the word of God, that's why praying your kingdom come, your will be done, is so powerful, because we are taking our will and opening it up to God to inject his into ours. And that is power, my friend. 1 John says this, 1 John 5:14-15, since we have this confidence, we can also have great boldness. Whew. For if we present any request agreeable to his will hear us. I pray that. I say, God, I'm going to pray according to your will, and I know you're going to hear me. And verse 15, and if we know he hears us in whatever we ask, we also know we've obtained the request we have. That's bold. And he's saying, be bold. Have this confidence. Say, I'm going to pray according to your will, and I'm going to see answers because you hear me, because you're my father, because I have a relationship with you, and I'm not going off on my own and trying to be rebellious. If there's anything in me that's wrong, Lord, like David said, see if there be any wrong way in me, right? And lead me in the right path. Mm-hmm. Change my heart, God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I just want to make a note on that. You know, whenever we're bringing a prayer to the Lord, whenever I'm bringing a prayer to the Lord, whether it be about a circumstance or maybe with someone in my life, those are good things to pray about. But then if the prayer is not being answered, I feel just kind of like a roadblock. My next question to God is, then what are you doing in my heart in that moment?
Yeah.
If this circumstance isn't changing, or if this aspect of relationship with someone isn't changing, then what are you trying to change in me? What are you trying to change in me? And Bill Johnson, we're talking about Bill Johnson a lot this morning, but he was saying something about, and especially in this place of where our circumstance may not change immediately, or relationship with other people, what are you trying to do in us? And oftentimes it's a place of patience that needs to grow in us. And when we are laying down what we want to change or other people to change, it is building inside of us a place of patience. And when patience is growing in us, it is a surrender of our humility or of our pride and building in. Oh, sorry. Well, we're on the same place. So now you lost my train of thought. But the patience that is developed when prayers are not yet answered, it's not just a patience, but it's the condition of our heart into a more humble place that says, what I want is not as important as what you want, God. And bringing us into that place, a deeper place of surrender, makes us so much more malleable to the Lord of what he wants us to truly do, and really what is best for us. And we may not see it at the moment.
Crazy girl. Going off of that, ask the question, do we keep praying this way, right? Sometimes we should. I'm going to paraphrase Luke 18, verses 1 through 8, but it's about the poor widow who kept going to a judge who apparently was a gruff person, not a nice person. God is using that, Jesus is using that as a contrast to himself, saying, your God, God your Father, is a good person. He's not this grumpy old judge. But saying, because the widow kept going and kept asking and kept pleading and kept praying and kept, please, hear my prayer. Please, do this for me. Do this justice. Do this justice. Eventually, that wicked judge heard her and did what she asked. He's saying, your Father in heaven is much better than this judge. Will he not do much more for you?
Mm-hmm.
But God talks about this because he's saying there's something in us that has to keep enduring, keep going. So what do you think's happening to us while we're going to God? And we're feeling like, why do I keep praying this prayer? Why do I not see anything, you know, what I want? I'm praying according to your will. I feel like I'm supposed to keep praying this, God. I feel like everybody is encouraging me to keep going this direction. My God, I've done this. There's a prayer that she and I have been praying for the entirety of our marriage, a dozen years, and we're still waiting for breakthrough, but we're still praying it because we feel like we're supposed to be praying it. Here is the secret, though, is because God works out his process in us while we are praying, and prayer winds up changing us more than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the point, my friends, and that's what she was just saying. Prayer changes us more than anything. Romans 5 says this, even in times of trouble, we have joyful confidence knowing that our pressures develop in us patient endurance.
Mm-hmm.
Patient endurance will refine our character. So God is saying patiently endure because it's going to refine your character. You keep coming to me in prayer, Charlie, because I'm working on your character. I'm breaking you down to the things that you think you want and you need, and I'm putting what I want in you. So keep going, keep going, keep praying, keep asking. And patient endurance will refine our character, and proven character leads us back to hope. And this hope is not a disappointing fantasy because we can now experience the endless love cascading in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who lives in us. Whew. I feel strongly about that because don't miss the process of God.
Yeah.
We often pray for the promise of God, but really the process is what leads you to the promise.
Yeah.
Okay. What is an impediment? We already talked about that in the Lord's Prayer, unforgiveness, right? Matthew 5:23 says, if you go into the Lord in prayer, you better first lay that down, go to the person you have wrong with. Forgiveness can sometimes be an act of faith, too. It is not an emotion. I don't still have to like this person. If Tim over there does something wrong to me, and he hasn't, you know, my obligation, the Bible says, is to forgive him. Now, he and I may not be best of buds afterwards, especially like if he bit my hand once, he bit it twice. Well, maybe I shouldn't hold my hand out there for him the third time, right? So the point is, you don't have to be in relationship with people all the time that do you wrong. You don't have to feel wonderful, flowery, you know, Walt Disney emotions about them, but you do have to forgive them because it's more about releasing yourself than it is even them. Because where they're at, that's God's business. That ain't your business. Okay. Number five. An impediment, not knowing what to pray. This can actually be a strength,
mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah.
I'm going to let you dive. You kind of started going into that, but speaking all in tongues.
Yeah, so I spoke a little bit earlier about speaking in tongues, and this is actually a really great tool for when you don't know what to pray. I need these notes.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm going to start with Romans 8:26. It says, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. So, yeah. So speaking in tongues, this is something we saw just released upon the disciples after Jesus' resurrection. And he said, something greater is going to come in my place after I leave. And the Holy Spirit came and just descended upon them. And they started speaking in tongues. And this was in the morning. And some people were like, oh, they're drunk. No, they were speaking in tongues. And this language of heaven, if you're not familiar with it, is something that when you become filled with the Holy Spirit, it's a heavenly language that comes out of your spirit and may just sound like wordless groans or mumblings or strange things, but it's actually a voice within your spirit from heaven that is saying these prayers that you may not even understand that in the natural what you need, or it may even be for someone else or something discerning in the atmosphere, like a collective thing that you are speaking out, and that things are being released in that. I'm going to share a story that happened with our son Henry, who's 6 years old. He So I shared how they were going to a Christian school, and now that the school is also, they're in California, so they're like everyone else in our quarantine, but they've been doing live streaming of their daily worship at their school, which is awesome. So we've been able to like reconnect with them over YouTube. And after they have worship, they're teaching the kids to hear the voice of God by going to what they call a prayer cave. So they all go tuck into a ball and they just listen to hear God's voice. And this will actually be helpful for any parents who want to learn how to teach their kids how to hear God's voice. So they just say, okay, kids, what'd you hear? And kids have no filter, right? They're not judging what they're thinking. They'll just say anything. And I guess it was the first week of quarantine, which it's important for you to know that Henry and Zoe, they do not know what's going on right now. We didn't feel the need to tell them. We were homeschooling before this, so nothing much has really changed except we don't go to the library. So we were down in our little prayer caves, and this was the first week, and his teacher over YouTube was like, okay, who has a word? Put, you know, parents, put it into the thing. And Henry goes, soap. And I'm like, okay, who, what, soap? I'm like pulling the thread. I'm like, what else do you have there, you know? He's like, God is soap. And he's like, God is soap, and he's washing away all the germs and the bad stuff. And I'm like, he doesn't know about the virus, but his spirit knew, and his spirit knew what to pray and knew what to speak. And I'm like, that is awesome. And there are things in our spirit that have the truth of what God is doing. It needs to be spoken out of our mouths to change the atmosphere and to change the things around us and to change us, like Charlie was saying. And it changes, it edifies us. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14:4, it says, he who speaks in tongues edifies his spirit. Edifies in Greek can be translated to build up and to repair. We can restore and repair things in our spirit, in our mind, and in our bodies by speaking through tongues. And I don't know about you, but I definitely need repair on a daily basis. And that's why speaking in tongues can edify us and build us up and restore and heal things in us.
You know, this, for some reason, is like kind of a controversial subject within the larger, you know, the church at large. Mm-hmm. It's not with me. I was 6 years old when I received baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking on tongues. Before then, I was like, you know, well, what's all this, you know, going on over there? But because I was, like she said, a kid and had no filter, it's something that I've grown up with, and I do it a lot. Sometimes I'll just feel the need to go 5-10 minutes just praying in the Spirit. Most of the time, I don't know what to pray, just be honest. Or I pray, and it's just like, I get it out, and I'm like, okay, now what, God? Like, we're just standing around here awkwardly, like, praying in the Spirit, but something more ferocious in my prayer comes out, like, more fervent, right? The fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous person avails much, right? I remember this one time, I didn't see something coming. It was a kind of a business situation, and I was about to have conflict with somebody in my office, and I didn't know it was about to happen. But for some reason, I felt a tug to prayer, and I went off to a park. This was in New York City, and I began to pray in the Spirit for like 15 minutes. Boom, and I was just like, and I felt the Lord's presence, and I felt edified and built up, and I walked back into the office, and it was just like, boom, 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 you know, Tyson versus Holyfield. And I saw it was a trap that the enemy was springing for me, and God had prepared me for it. But I didn't even see it coming. But because I had spent time praying in the Spirit, I was ready for it. Mm. And it was amazing. And the outcome, you know, there were some things to wade through, but the outcome eventually worked in my favor. And I believe that's because I was tuned in. I didn't know what to pray, but God was praying through me. Mm. Right? Let's talk about, real quick, and we're going to wind it up here, is keys to unlocking our prayer life, okay? I believe, and I made reference to this earlier, the number one thing that we can do to unlock the power of prayer in our life is surrender. Surrender. I was struggling a couple of years ago in almost all facets of my life. I was struggling emotionally, mentally. My body was starting to break down due to some extraneous circumstances and things that I'm not going to get into now, but I was struggling. I was struggling with depression, with anxiety, and it was a really dark, dark period of my life. And I did something that set me free. I got on my knees and I prayed, but in my prayer I said, I can't do any of this anymore, God. I surrender everything to you. kids, my life, my mind, my body. Do with me what you will. And something broke and lifted off of me. And all I can say is that she and I, it's been a lesson in our life for the last year and a half to 2 years, 2 years really now, of surrender, surrender. We think we are in control of our lives, and we work hard to remain in control of the outcomes and the things, whether it be manipulating relationships or situations, whether we think we are in control of our job, our business, or anything like that. We are actually not in control of very much. Really, the only thing we are in control of is our attitude and our choices.
Mm-hmm.
In the beginning, in Deuteronomy, God said, I hold before you life and death. Choose life. This is one thing you are in control of. Choose. Choose. And I chose to surrender, and it broke things off of me. Another way that we can unlock the power of prayer in our life is thanksgiving. Giving thanks all the time. I'm not in the situation I want, Lord, give thanks. My wife's driving me crazy, Lord, give thanks. Give thanks that you have a wife. How about that?
Mm-hmm.
Your wife make coffee this morning? Thank her for it, right? There is something in every situation that we can find a reason to give thanks for, almost always, right? Even giving thanks in faith for the things we have not received yet.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's when I know your faith is kicking into another gear and you can't be stopped. Is when you're giving thanks to God that you have not even seen yet, right? And then the last thing I believe is a key to unlocking prayer in our life is simply waiting, waiting, waiting. That whole situation of, you know, it's either yes, no, or not yet. Sometimes while God is working out his process in us, he's asking us to wait on him. We know the scripture, Isaiah 40:31 says, those who wait for Yahweh's grace will experience divine strength. Meaning in this time of waiting, we can receive strength from God. Waiting does not have to be a passive thing where I'm just leaned up against the wall, folding my, you know, when is this over, God? When is this season going to end? Why am I stuck in this place? Blah, blah, blah. I'm in the wilderness, God. No, I can lean into this season and say, God, I want to learn what you are trying to teach me in this time. I don't want to miss this lesson, God, and keep going around this mountain. I'm waiting for you to show me what I'm here for in this place. And it says when we do that, his divine strength will show up. They will rise up on soaring wings and fly like eagles. We saw the eagle again this week in the park, just sitting there, and he was waiting. He had a new, you know, some chicks in the nest. He, she, I don't know who it was, but it was an eagle, was sitting there waiting, waiting, waiting. But at any time, that thing could have soared on wings and gone as high as an airplane, couldn't it? And that's what God is telling us. We can rise up on soaring wings and fly like eagles, run the race without growing weary, and walk through life without giving up.
Mm.
Walk through life without giving up. We're going to end with this prayer. Wherever you're at, person watching this, we pray for God's divine strength right now in you to bring you to a place of prayer. Whatever that looks like. However, the personification of the outcome of that prayer looks like for you, just do it. Just go to the Lord. Just start doing it. Don't let shame keep you from praying. Don't let busyness keep you from praying. You can pray in your car. You can pray on a walk. You can pray in the shower. You can pray anywhere, anytime, doing anything. Just pray. That's the point. Cry out to the Lord God. Say, God, you are my Father. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. Start with the Lord's Prayer, but then start branching out and praying. Ask God to fill you with his Holy Spirit. Be open to that. He might want to pray another language to you. Just be open to it.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else?
You got it, babe.
So, you want to come up here, Pops, and close it and greet people and say bye-bye? Love you guys. God bless. Here's the man, PD.
Great job. Really, really excellent job. Wow. What an important subject, too.